Hey, welcome to a teaching edition of Building a Business That Lasts, where we help you build a business without being worn out and stressed out and ready to quit. My name is Jay Owen. I'm your host. And today I have a really special edition where I'm going to share with you the audio from a Q&A that my wife and I did around marriage, parenting, and entrepreneurship. What I find is that many people are really focused on building their businesses. And as a result, you can end up in a place, I've been there, so I'm not preaching to anybody but myself half the time, where you are sacrificing your family, you're sacrificing your marriage, and you're doing that at the altar of your business growth. I had somebody say recently, actually it was Don Miller, I was at an event, StoryBrand event that he did, and he said, you know, he's met with a lot of entrepreneurs who feel like over time they get to the top, wherever that is, and they achieve the success in business that they've desired. But they look around and realize that they left their family behind. I don't want to be that guy. And I'm guessing if you're listening to this podcast, you don't want to be that person either. And so what Claire and I did on this conversation, it's a recording from when we did an event called Business Builders Live. And we had a little over 100 people here in St. Augustine, Florida, did this awesome event. And during after one of the lunch sessions, her and I did a Q&A session. And because I wanted you to hear like from an entrepreneur's spouse, what that's like. And we try to be as candid as we can to share things that have worked, things that haven't worked with us. And I think that you'll find it really valuable. So enjoy this Q&A. You'll hear questions that other people have asked from the audience, and then you will hear our responses. And hopefully it will help you build a business that lasts without sacrificing your family. Without any further ado, here is my Q&A with my beautiful wife, Claire.
Well, I wanted to introduce to you my wife, Claire. So welcome to the stage, babe. And over the summer, when we took our RV tour, we had some like random fun with some Facebook Live videos of her and I. And it was interesting to me because a lot of people in the business community had a lot of questions about like just how we operate our marriage and lives and everything else along with business. And so I felt like there was a lot of pent-up curiosity around that. And I thought, well, why not bring that into the event today? So that was kind of the inspiration behind this. We'd done a few of those, and then just done a few little random Q&As here and there, and I thought it'd be kind of fun. So some people submitted questions ahead of time, so I've got a couple of those, which I can kick off with, but I'd rather work from the live audience of y'all that are here. So as far as areas of conversation, entrepreneurship, marriage, family, I'll preface it by saying, like, we have messed all those things up plenty of times, and we're still figuring it out as we go. We've been married for...
Eighteen years.
That is correct. You've passed the first question.
All right, I'm done. Yeah, just to be clear, this is fun for Jay. This is not as fun for me, but I do enjoy supporting him from usually behind the scenes. That's really where I'm more comfortable.
So Claire homeschools our five kids who are 8 to 16. Our oldest boys are here somewhere. I think Hayden and Oliver are going to run around with mics. And they went homeschooled from the very beginning. So people always ask if she's a teacher. And I'm like, yes, she is. She teaches five different grade levels all at the same time. And just keeps me in order as well. So that's kind of the, yeah. Everybody's like, well, that sounds really hard. It is, trust me. So I'll just kick off with some random questions that were submitted ahead of time. And then if y'all have questions as we go, we'll spend about 30 minutes or so just kind of answering random stuff, again, with the preface of we've learned a lot along the way, but we've certainly messed it up too. And we might not know the answer to the question, but we'll give it a shot. And hopefully it'll be entertaining and valuable for you. All right, first question. Are you ready? Mm-hmm. I feel like it's like Price is Right or something. Also, when I did those YouTube live videos, I always had also had a couple of glasses of bourbon, which that helped a lot. I've not had that today, but I considered it. Maybe later. Okay, Tommy asked, who's here? Oh, he's right here, actually. How do you keep, this is really for me, but it's really for both of us. How do you keep from worrying about, how do you keep your wife from worrying while still being honest with her about what's happening at work? Let me rephrase that for you so you can think about it. Like, as somebody who has to deal with me, an entrepreneur. And this could go either way, right? Like, I mean, we could be in opposite shoes where she's the entrepreneur. It just so happens that, you know, that's my role is running the business and hers is teaching the kids. But for some of you, it's flip-flopped. Or in some cases, you're both working or you're both running businesses or you're working on businesses together. There's a lot of potential combinations of all of that. How much information is too much information for me to share about work? And does that stress you out?
It doesn't stress me out. That's probably not really the right word, but I enjoy being a part of it. I enjoy hearing about his day, the good, the bad, the ugly. I think I'm good at listening, and if he needs some back and forth, I think we're really good about being able to do that. And so I think for Jay is pretty good at probably just knowing me and knowing where my skills lie and the things that I can help him with. And then sometimes it's just to listen. Sometimes he just needs to vent and get things out. And then other times he's looking for some help. And I think he knows me well enough to know which things to come to me for and then which things to not ask me about.
I think it's also like a balance for me to figure out, you know, the reality is that our lives sometimes, and we've struggled with this, can be on like very separate but parallel paths, where all day she's got five kids at home who have varying needs and abilities, and she's teaching them while also like doing all these other things that she's involved with while I'm running a business, and those things are not directly linked on a day-to-day basis. And so there can be a lot of times where I've had a really hard day and she's had a really hard day, and it's a matter of kind of like feeling that out a little bit before I start going like, oh, I had to deal with this and this and this. And mm-hmm. She's like, yeah, well, I'm trying to raise our children. That can be hard.
Yeah, I'd say there's definitely, we've had some struggles in when he would come home and just kind of like, I would say just verbal diarrhea his day to me.
Appreciate while that I'm, visual.
While I'm like just kind of in the throes of just finishing teaching and then trying to get dinner ready and trying to just kind of create our home for our family in the evening. And I've had to kind of say, well, I can't process that right now. Like we're going to need to address this another time. So I think just communicating that and finding good times to talk about serious things. It's one thing if he's just coming home and like laying out his day, but if it's like something serious that this is a kind of a big deal that's happened, that's usually I'm going to need a little bit of separate time to process that.
Yeah, I think that becomes even more difficult in today's environment where so many people are working remotely. There's something about like having a little separation between transitioning from like the office, if you will, or from work to family. And there's a little bit of headspace that has to be cleared in there. And I know some guys that I've talked to and other leaders where, you know, now all of a sudden they're working upstairs and the commute from upstairs to downstairs isn't very far, but they just got off a really hard call and they're dealing with something really difficult. And then they jump right into the throes of, you know, marriage and parenting and everything else. And there's just no mental separation there. And we as human beings need some level of like transition. But what's hard too is like she's not had any transition time all day either. Like she's had kids 24/7. So how can I create space for her? And I think, you know, one of the questions I had a couple people ask about like both Brad, who's here, and Wes Gay online asked like essentially, how have you dealt with scaling a business and navigating the realities of like young kids, toddlers, like under six even? So like think back to those seasons. We're out of that. Praise the Lord. But
yeah, those are hard times, and I think we kind of look for this balance, which doesn't really exist. So like I don't think you're ever gonna really balance that. At sometimes the scale's gonna be up here, and sometimes it's gonna be down here. And I think it just goes back to communicating, especially in the early days as Jay was growing the business. And now we have these struggles too as he's pivoting to different things and the business changes, with just communicating what each of us need in that. And I think we have this expectation of multitasking really well. And You know, I think I've always thought I'm a pretty good multitasker, and I think I'm realizing that what I'm doing is doing, you know, four things 75% well and not really doing them 100%. And so trying to monotask a little bit more rather than multitask. And I think with the business, when you're growing, sometimes he needs more time in the business area, and he's got to communicate, hey, I'm gonna need to stay till 6 or 7 this week. Or if there's a month or a season that is gonna be harder, just communicating that with your spouse, so that for me on my end, I have those expectations that, okay, this season, the business needs a little bit more time. And then there's seasons where I say, hey, we're in this season, we've got teenagers, we've got things going on, like, this really needs to be important. So that scale is just going to kind of keep going up and down. I think just communicating that balance, or trying to understand that we're not going to get that balance, but knowing where we each need to be.
I've never heard somebody say monotask.
I got that from a book I read.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Did you invent that?
No. A guy named Jesse Itzler, if any of you have heard of him, he wrote the book Living with a Seal, and then he also wrote a book called Living with the Monks. And as he lived with the monks, he learned how to monotask, and so I'm trying to monotask.
I just learned something today, so that's good. Question.
So, first of all, doing four things 75%, that sounds like a dream.
But my question is, Jay, you had mentioned earlier about, you know, that friction point of being there but not there.
Yeah.
What are some systems or some habits or some rituals that you guys go through to make sure that when you're there, you are there, and that it isn't something that, you know, you are physically present but mentally or spiritually or emotionally absent?
Yeah. I mean, for me, I think a couple things. Number one, I still battle that all the time. Like, I don't think that ever goes away for somebody who's an entrepreneur. I think one of the curses of entrepreneurship and blessings is that you constantly have new ideas, and to turn off that flow or that thought process, and really for most business owners in general, is to turn that thing off is almost impossible. And so the question becomes, like, what can I do instead to put focus where it needs to be? And it just changes for me through different seasons. There's been times where I've realized that, like, I'm coming home and wanting to open my laptop right back up, and so I'll just leave it in the car. I'll leave my phone in the car. I'll put my phone on airplane mode. When I go on vacation, this is a big one. When we go on an actual vacation, I have to disable my email from my phone. Like, I have to physically go in and turn it, like, delete my email off of my phone. Because if I see it, I have to deal with it. I can't turn it off. Even if I don't deal with it, it's going to consume my brain, and I'm going to appear like I'm dealing with it, even though I'm not doing anything other than worrying about it or thinking about it. And so, like, when we went on our vacation this summer into the RV trip, I physically turned my email off. I couldn't access it. I know one guy who went to the even further extreme, which I've not done this yet, but maybe I should if I have a problem, where he had his executive assistant change the password on his email so that he could not access it. It's an addiction, honestly. But there's real science behind this. The reason that you're addicted to your email is that it gives you a dopamine hit every time you refresh it. And every time you delete one, even just getting rid of a junk email is actually, like, of psychological value to you, or you think that it is. And so if I'm doing that, what I'm not doing is engaging my kids or talking to Claire or, like, being in family. And so those are things I've had to change over time. But the just disabling my email off of my phone when I'm on vacation is a big one for me. Because if it's on, I am not on vacation. I am working, even if it's just in the back of my head, and sometimes that's worse. She would much rather, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but she would much rather us be on vacation and me say, hey, I'm going to need, you know, 2 hours this morning or 2 hours this afternoon to deal with this one thing. When would be a good time for me to do that? She would much rather me do that than, like, be dealing with it all day.
Well, I think that's what I mean by with the monotasking. Like, I would much rather know, look, I would rather you stay at the office 2 extra hours than come home, say a quick hi, and go sit on your laptop while you're, you know. And there were times where we would really struggle with this because he, for me, quality time is really important. It's one of my love languages. So, you know, sometimes sitting and watching TV in the evening, you know, he's got his laptop open, I don't really care. It's that communication again, like knowing the expectation. But there's times where I desire his quality time. And if he's on his phone or on his laptop or doing work, and he might say, well, I'm here, I'm present, and you're not really present. So I think being present in what you're doing. So if you take that time to spend with your family, block it out, then get rid of the laptop, get rid of the phone, get rid of any distractions, and really prioritize that time with your family. And we don't always do that well, but it's something to continue to work on. And then when you're at work, put it all into there, prioritize that, and make that your time. And I think you'll find you'll hit those closer to 100% rather than multitasking and doing everything somewhat okay.
Yeah, and I think it's even harder in this season of remote work, because I've always heard the idea, like, be where your feet are, which sounds really good. It's like a good, like, quote for an Instagram slide. But that becomes even more difficult when you're working from home. You know, I mean, I worked at home for 16 years, so I was working at home before it was, you know, the thing you had to do. And I always said that the greatest thing about working from home is you never had to go to work, but the bad thing was you never got to leave. And a lot of people are experiencing that now. I think we're seeing a mass migration towards what people think will be a permanency of remote work. I do not believe that will be true at all. What will happen, I think, is that work will become more hybrid, which it already is, but I think some companies, what happens, I think, with major cultural changes even within work is pendulums overswing, and so they readjust. They go, all right, remote work, feel like, oh, wow, we don't have to pay rent on our office anymore, and we don't need all this stuff. Like, we're going to save so much money. And then they realize, hold on, this doesn't work. Now, some businesses, it works perfectly fine. I mean, it worked fine for us for 16 years. I will not go back to a fully remote environment. I think a hybrid environment is the future.
But even in those times where you were fully remote, like you probably were less present when you were finished working.
When I was fully remote.
Yeah.
I think so too.
I mean, now, you know, he'll even, he said, even though it's like a 7-minute drive from his office to the house, that's a time for him to decompose a little bit. And he needs that.
Mm-hmm. All right, what are the questions we got? I have more here, but that were submitted online. Any other questions in the room? Yep, Eric, we're bringing a mic to you so everybody can hear you.
Do you guys, as a practice, have a time set that you talk about the heavy things of life? Or is it more of kind of like when you're feeling it and when the opportunity presents itself?
Yeah, we have tried to schedule time and it just does not work for us. Something always takes that time away.
It sounds so good on paper.
Yeah, we need that, but we're like, okay, well, we'll do it this day. Well, we can't because there's not been a day that really works for us to make that happen. So it's probably more organic. And if we do need time, we will try to set the time to do that. But we don't have a scheduled time. That just doesn't work well for us. Something we did this year that we've talked about for a long time at the beginning of the year was we took some time away. Did we go somewhere? Where did we go?
We were going to. We did end up doing it in my office when nobody was there.
That's right, yeah. So we just went to his office without the kids, and we took a full day, and we kind of planned. We went through...
Hero on a Mission.
Yeah, Hero on a Mission.
We went through a life plan program together, which I took our team through, called Hero on a Mission, and it essentially is a life planning exercise of, like, what is your dream desired state of the future? It's one of the most powerful things I've ever done in my whole life. You actually start, this sounds so depressing, but you start by writing your obituary. And if you've never done that before, this isn't brand new. There's plenty of authors that have talked about this in the past, but the idea is essentially, like, what's your life going to look like after you're gone? What are people going to say about you when you're dead? Because the one thing we know is we're all going to die at some point, as depressing as that is for after lunch talk. And what do we want them to say? And so this Hero on a Mission idea is basically you think about the people who are closest to you. Like, what if I was dead, what would I want her to say about me? What would I want my children to say about me? I had somebody ask me a question at the end of a podcast recently, and they said, what do you want to be known for? And the context of the question was around marketing and business and the things that, you know, I talk about. But it kind of caught me off guard because it's such a powerful question. And I said, well, It really depends on who's doing the knowing. Because what I want her to know me for is different than I want my children to know me for than I want you to know me for. And so in this obituary, you basically write out your life plan. And I did this myself personally. The first time I ever did it, I got to an event early, back when we could go to events. I mean, we're back at events. And I sat in a hotel room, and I'm literally sitting at my keyboard, like, weeping. I did say I was a crier, to be fair. But, I mean, I was literally weeping writing this thing, because I'm telling you right now, if you have to write a paragraph on what your spouse or children or closest people to you are going to say about you when you're gone, and then you realize the disparity between where you are now and where you want to go, it will wreck you. And so after I did it to myself, tortured myself with it, I tortured the team with it, we were on Zoom that day, and you could tell when people were getting affected because all of a sudden their cameras would go off. And they'd come back like 5 minutes later with their face all red, and I'm like, got ya. So then I did it to her, or we did it together, and then we kind of talked through family that way.
Yeah, so that was a really great time, and that's something that we're going to continue to do each year. So that's for sure a staple. And then something else that we, during that time, we decided we wanted to get, and then kind of put it off, and then just now what we're in almost April.
So 1/4 in, we're fine.
We got... it's called the Big Ass Calendar, and we're gonna put it up in our office/library in our home.
It's a Jesse Itzler thing, as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, another Jesse Itzler, and it's basically just your whole year calendar. So I think for us to have that, we can schedule things. We actually have scheduled for this coming weekend, kind of a reprieve of that. I don't know if you saw that on the calendar.
Yeah, it's on there.
I don't know. We didn't schedule that very well because having this and then that the weekend, but it's on the calendar, and so
she'll know.
That's kind of our next step to when we met at the beginning of the year to schedule in times together. So we do have some time scheduled together, kind of for the big stuff, but we're not doing a great job of like a weekly meeting, which I know a lot of people do and they're very successful at it. We just have not mastered that.
Well, and ultimately we haven't made it a priority.
Yeah.
Like I always say, whenever you have to say to somebody, especially your spouse, like, I don't have time for that, instead say, that's not a priority for me. Now, you're going to have a hard time saying that sometimes.
And I'm not allowed to say that.
If you say that, you might get punched in the throat. So, but maybe just say it in your head. Okay, don't say it out loud. That's bad advice. But seriously, like when your spouse or significant other or child or whoever says, hey, you know, what about this, this, and this? And you say, well, I don't have time for that. In your head, you need to say, that is not a priority for me. And that will change your mindset. Mm-hmm. And look, I get it. Like some seasons, you got to make some money because you got to pay the bills because you got to pay the mortgage and you got to keep the lights on and you got to put food on the table. But there becomes a point where that is not really why you're doing it. There becomes a point where you say to yourself, you know what, if I just get through this one project, if I just get past this one event, well, what happens? You get past that one and then another one pops up because that's what entrepreneurs and leaders do. They create new events for themselves. And to some extent, that's healthy. It's healthy to have a project to work on, but if that project is in contrast to what you are saying is the most important thing in your life. You know, that's one of the things I love about this C12 group that I'm in. We have really honest conversations, and one of the guys, at the beginning, we do this little life wheel, and you kind of put like where you're, 1 to 10, where you at in your marriage, where you at in your faith, where you at in your finances, where you at in rest, where you at in retreat, where you at in all these things, right? And one of the guys basically was like, man, second month in a row, I'm really low on my marriage. And the guy who was leading the group said, well, you know whose fault that is, right? And I was like, oh, shoot. Okay, this is where we're at. But he was right. Like, it's our own fault because we cannot say, like, what's your priorities? Oh, you know, God, my marriage, my family, and then my business. Like, is it? Because I can tell you a lot of times mine has been my business. It has. And that has produced sometimes financial fruit, but often it has created relational pain that is not worth that financial fruit. Got a question over here. Who's got a mic?
As an active participant in priority, how are they doing?
Oh, she's asking Hayden the question. Here we go.
They're doing good. They're doing good.
That's the right answer. You get to keep your allowance this week. That's funny. That's Hayden. He's our oldest. He's 16. You can follow him on Instagram at Hayden J. Owen. He's a great guitar player.
Oh, this is for you, Claire. How do you keep Jay, like, level-headed when he's bringing you all these ideas? Because I know I, as an entrepreneur, I bring ideas to my wife every week. Last week, I said we should buy a Tesla. We should rent it on Turo. So did you think about that, Jay? And how do you reel him in from all those ideas?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think that that's probably very easy for me, just with my personality. I kind of shut things down pretty quickly, maybe without a lot of grace sometimes.
He's a high D, high C.
So, I'm pretty realistic. Probably, you know, try to be more realistic. But I'm also a dreamer too. So when he's got big ideas, I love to follow along with those, and I get really excited about them. And I definitely have those like, yeah, let's do it. Let's just do it. And I do pretty well in those environments. So, but sometimes there are those things that I just say, that's not, we can't do that right now. And I think the biggest thing is, again, it just goes back to communicating, because, you know, I will get behind him on any project that he wants to do. I just need to be on board. I just want to be invited into it. You know, I want to take the ride and be on the journey with him. So there's been one time specifically.
I knew this was coming.
That he did not include me in his journey.
Look, I was going to tell the story if you weren't, so go ahead.
So he decided to write a book, which I knew he wanted. He'd been talking about writing a book, which is wonderful, and I fully support that. But I found out about him starting the book through Facebook. So I was on Facebook, and he's got a post saying, oh, I'm writing a book. And I was like, oh, it's the first I'm hearing of this. At the time, we had a very, very busy schedule. We had a lot going on. The kids were a lot younger, and I just felt overwhelmed at the time. And I thought, well, good for you. You go sit and write your book. That's great. I'll be over here struggling to not drown. So I think that, I think just being included.
Said it kind of like that too.
Being included, yeah, I wasn't very happy. And so that, you know, that's hard because this is a big deal for him. Like writing your first book is a huge thing. And I wasn't, there was some bitterness there about that without being involved. I'm like, we're supposed to be doing this together, and I need you to involve me in these things. And so, you know, I'm over it now, and we're recovered from that, but he's learned to fill me in and just, you know, I think he knows that I'm his biggest cheerleader. I think that he has learned that I will not say no just to say no. I am along for the ride, and I am just as excited for these events, for whatever comes next. Like, that's really fun for me. So I hope that your spouses, your partners, whoever's along with that ride with you, can feel that way too.
That's a great example of where, like, just communication's everything. I mean, if I had left that event, or even just called her and said, "Hey, I'm, you know, I just left this thing. I just feel so excited and motivated to, you know, start this book. And here's the idea." Like, she'd have been like, "Maybe you should wait on that, or stop one of the other 12 things that you're doing right now," which was probably true because I was doing a lot at the season, and we had young kids, and we were adopting a new child, and there was a lot going on. And instead, I decided to go on Facebook and be like, "Hey, I'm starting a book." Why? Because I wanted people to reply and be like, "Oh, that's awesome. I can't wait to read it." That's why.
Yeah, and I just feel burdened. Like, that just feels a burden to me. Not the book, but everything that he won't be able to be a part of because of the time that it takes to write a book. Like, you can't just, you know, that takes time. You have to block out a lot of time. And so that felt like a heavy burden to me.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly. But that's the real life behind the scenes of it, you know? Like, all people see on the Instagram is, you know, wow, here's this new book, and he's got 5 kids, and he's running, like, and all that's true too, like, and they're all good things, but in the midst of all of that, like, You know, it's easy to create chaos in something stupid, you know? Like, it was stupid. It's so simple, but it's so easy for that to get messed up.
Yeah, I think we live in a world and a, you know, a culture where we just want people to see all the good stuff, which is natural. You know, there was, probably 2 or 3 weeks ago now, we had a big argument. It was in the evening, and I can't remember what it was about, but we had a big fight, and I left the house, and I was like, I'm going shopping or something. I left. And, you know, he sent me a picture from on the back patio of, like, this beautiful sunset and him by the pool, and he put, this is, you know, Insta life. And he didn't post that photo, but he could have, and people would see, oh, they've got such a beautiful pool and this water and it's just a great sunset, not knowing that we're in this fight and this, you know, so there's always stuff happening that you don't see, but we want to put out there that we're perfect and everything's great. And I think that's something I really struggle with, is just seeing, I want to people to know that this is not easy. It's not always easy. Building a business is not easy. Raising a family is not easy. Doing it all together is not easy. And I think having people, groups like this, that you can openly talk about that and be honest and say this is hard and help each other through it is a huge blessing.
And the other thing about that, the thing that I found so much value in that Hero on a Mission workshop idea is you have to have a future vision of what success looks like. You have to have that in your marriage. You have to have that in your parenting. You have to have that in your business. And so, like, when we're in the midst of, I mean, that fight that she was talking about was like, I don't know, 2 weeks ago,
yes.
3 weeks, like, recent. It's not like this was like, yeah, years ago, back when we used to fight. I mean, it was like 2 weeks ago. And we were angry. I literally do not know what we were angry about. But we were. And yet, in the midst of that, I can close my eyes and I can see what our marriage looks like when I'm 70 years old. And I can see our grandchildren running in the yard, and I can see us, you know, sitting on the porch together. I like to say drinking lemonade. I'll probably be drinking bourbon, but... And I can see that future more clearly than I can see any other future. Because the business to me changes so much. Like, I have a really hard time with 10-year visions for a business, although we have them. And there's some, like, big things, like, idea-wise that are out here 10 years from now. But I've always had a hard time with that. But in personal life, I can see it more clearly. And I think that whether it's in business or parenting or marriage, and look, we got a long way to go. I mean, my oldest son is 16 years old. Some of y'all have grown children. And that's a whole different world. And some of y'all have already been through marriages and been through life that has not turned out the way that you want. And I am not, hear me very clearly, I am not intending to shame you or make you feel bad about the past or even the present, because everybody's got a different story. And I think what we want, you know, together is to show and to tell a story of a highly imperfect marriage that is willing to fight, you know, through all seasons. And part of that is figuring out how to run a business in the midst of that. Any other questions? Lance and then Charles. Go ahead, Lance.
Okay. So I have 5 kids, and we've kind of been recently thrown into a homeschooling scenario. So I'm just, my first part of the question is, you know, how do you manage that, and how do you do that? Because I'm not very good at it. And the second part is there any kind of over the shelf?
You're gonna need a whole other workshop
I can take. I don't know. I'm just wondering how you do it, and you know, that's it.
Yeah, so I definitely feel for all of the families and the moms and the dads that have been thrown into homeschooling. For me, it was a choice. It was a calling. It wasn't something that I had planned from birth, but it was definitely God's calling on my life. And sometimes I'm still not thrilled about that. But it's, you know, it is what it is, and I'm following obediently. But it's hard. It's hard even when you have it planned and feel that it's a calling. As a C, I am very organized, and I have to be. We recently moved into a new home, and I have a beautiful schoolroom, which is a huge blessing. You don't need that, but for me, I like to be able to close it off and be done with it.
And that's true for school or for work. Like having a place to work, even if it's just a little desk in a room somewhere, you know, that's the place that I work. I don't do anything else at that place. That's really helpful, but it's harder with kids.
Yeah, it can be hard, but
it's a dining room table.
Yes, we still use the dining room table, even with the schoolroom. I'll pull kids out and we'll do stuff on the dining room table. But having a support system has been huge. We're part of a co-op. And so this morning, actually, before I came here, I went to co-op. I dropped the kids off. I teach writing. So I taught my writing class and then I came here. And some of those families are they're just our support. You know, when we're having a hard time. So just like in business, in homeschooling, you need people to surround you. So I definitely encourage, you know, just having some people to reach out to on those hard times. But yeah, it's a lot. Are you doing virtual school? Yeah, I mean, I would suggest just really trying to schedule out the day with the different different things that you're doing. But we can certainly, I mean, I would be happy to talk to you about that later on a smaller scale, because there's a lot that can go into that. But yeah, that's a new thing for a lot of people. So it's very, very difficult. Don't think it's not. it's a hard job.
We're going to have homeschoolers live next, and I'm going to be the support instead of the speaker. Let her be the teacher. All right, there's one more question over here, and then we probably need to wrap it up.
This is part commentary, part question. First, you're not the only one that was writing something when your wife found out by accident. That's how my wife found out that I was writing not only a blog, but also a book. And it was purely by accident because I posted something out of ego on Facebook. That being said, I know you said you were 16 years before you decided to go into a brick and mortar. First question, how did you make that decision? When did you make that decision? And for Claire, how involved are you in the day-to-day business part of his decision-making? Because that's hard for somebody that's married to somebody that's not a business owner. She's a school teacher, so she doesn't understand what I go through on a day-to-day. And so I have a hard time balancing what to relay to her versus and get that, you know, have her as a sounding board, so to speak, where she can understand and be involved and determine what level of involvement there should be. Thanks.
Yeah. You want to answer that one first, and then I'll go to the remote.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I'm not involved in the day to day. I mean, Jay has an awesome team, as you all have seen here. That he doesn't, you know, I'm just not. There's too much going on for me. That would be a complete life change. So I know a lot of people, their spouses have completely separate lives from the business. So I think in that role, I just try to be a listening ear when he needs it. I don't feel like I need to be a part of everything. You know, he certainly makes all the decisions with his team by himself and does a great job. So I certainly don't feel like I'm missing out or not involved in those daily aspects. But I would just say back to communication. I mean, there's big things that happen in the company that we, like I said before, I want to be a part of those things. I mean, we've kind of, you know, we have grown this company together, even without me being in the day-to-day life of it. So I feel my heart is with Design Extensions always. It's provided an amazing home. It's provided for me to stay home and teach our children. So I think just, you know, I'm when I'm happy in my role, and feeling feeling like I'm where I'm supposed to be in life and doing what I should be doing, then I can support him fully. And I don't really know if I'm answering your question, but
let me go. That's good. Yeah. That's good. On the remote work question, we were remote for a long time, and by we, it was basically me. for a long time, and then me plus a handful of contractors for a long time, and then me plus a handful of guys for a while, and we were all remote. And that worked really well for a season. But there were a couple things that happened. One, we started getting into more strategic work. And so the difference from a marketing perspective, when I say strategic work, there's production work, which is basically like doing the things. So you'd come to me and say, hey, Jay, I want to build a website. And I'd say, great, what do you want to put on it? And you'd say, well, this and this and this. And I say, okay, we take that, we go build your website, we come back, review it, we tweak it a little bit, we launch the thing, we're good to go. Now people come to us and they say, hey, Jay, we want to build a website. I go, well, hold on, why? Well, what are we trying to accomplish here? What's the bigger goal? Let's look at the business, you know, from a higher perspective. What kind of goals are we trying to achieve? And so I found that that strategic work is infinitely better in person. Whether we fly out to a client or they come into us, it works on Zoom. It's better in person. I believe there's something about the human spirit, not to get too like new agey or spiritual, but about being in person, that ideas just flow better. Not that weird like Zoom thing. I hate that stuff. And I'm a technology guy, which is weird. And the other aspect of that was the season of life. All the guys on my team at that point, we were all about the same age. And we all had kids roughly about the same age. And it was fine for a while. And then as they started getting a little bit bigger, there was a point where all of a sudden we all had a bunch of toddlers running around banging on doors and everything else. And I mean, as those of you who know now that are working at home and do have young children, it's very difficult. And so I kind of pulled the team and was like, hey, should we do an office? And one year, like, nah, should we do an office? Nah. And then finally it was like, it'd be really nice to have a space to work from. And even pre-pandemic, we were in a moderately hybrid mode. So if people that wanted to come in a little bit later and stay a little later, that was fine. Come in a little earlier, leave a little earlier, that was fine. Wednesdays, we usually worked remote if they wanted to. Now it's kind of the flip-flop of that, where most people are only in the office a couple of days, and that's kind of how we make it work. So that's been kind of the transition for us. But I think it matters based on like the business itself, the size of the team, the season of life, the age of your kids, the layout of your house. There's no singular thing that's going to make that choice, but it's something that I think could be evaluated again and again and again until you make that decision. And especially, like, you know, it comes down to communication again. Like for us, the biggest times that I have messed things up, it's because I've decided something here without talking about it here. And when we go back to the idea of being equally yoked in business, two oxen pulling in the same direction, well, if we're not equally yoked, we have a real problem. And that doesn't mean that she has to equally be involved in business as I am in the schooling of the kids, but there needs to be some knowledge of what's happening in both of those spaces, and there needs to be a place where I might need to go, hey, I need extra time this week or this month or this quarter. Like, we got something big going on and I need your help. But then she has the right to hold me accountable at the end of that season to go, hold on, you said at the end of this season, then you were going to take a break. Where's the break? Like, that's a fair question to ask versus me just jumping to the next project. Anything else? We're out of time. Way out of time. All right. Well, I hope this has been somewhat interesting, moderately entertaining, and helpful in some ways. I know everybody's in different seasons of life, but I thought it'd be fun to bring you on stage. And going back to the story of someone who believes in you and don't believe in yourself, we would not be sitting here today. I tell that story that I told earlier about when I was 22 years old and I didn't believe in myself, but she did. I tell it every single year to my team. They've all like, okay, here comes the story again. I've heard it 10 times. But it's important. It's as important for me to remind my team of that story and to remind her of her value and worth in the business, even though she's not in it every single day. Because I am not married to this business. I am married to her. And I am saying that to myself because I've run this business since I was 17. I had one job before this. And that was it. And it was building websites for a company in Jacksonville. That's all I've ever done. And yet, I made no vow. I have no covenant with my business. I care a lot for the people that are standing around the back side of the edge of this room. Probably like my wife, my children, and that team. Like, I care about them immensely. And yet, my primary responsibility, even over my children, is her. So thanks for all that you do to support me. I love you. All right.